Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Jesus reminds us to watch for the signs of his return. Today, we will explore further what we are seeing in our times that line up with what signs he said would indicate the potential of the end and his return. We will also discuss the practical meaning of this as we watch and as a remnant prepare as he so leads. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Here we are, End Times Friday. This will be airing on August, I think the 16th, so mid-August, where everybody I know is getting prepared for school and going back to school and ending summer vacations and getting back to work.
College kids heading off, all kinds of stuff, right?
Getting, fall time's a great time. Linda's already decorated our house for fall, so
we're ready, that's so funny.
Ready for that, so it's kind of fun. She's working on, there's a thing that she did with our kids, and then she's done it for actually over 400 other people, but it's called the Jesse Tree in Advent. At a Christmas for kids, particularly, it's a great way to learn the stories of the Old Testament as the lineage of Christ, you know, headed up into then celebration of Christmas and keeping the meaning of Christmas. And it's a great little clever thing of devotion and ornaments and lighting the Advent candles and all that.
I have long said she needs to make those and sell them. You know,
she's making 100, having 100 made.
Is she really? Wow.
And she's going to do it. And of course, her view of it is, you know, she wants to make it so it's really easy to purchase. And so she's going to contribute to the cost of it. But it's really cool, really. And this is where God, you know, he guides us as we ask, seek, and knock. You know, so we were talking about it, you know, earlier in the summer. And she said, I think God wants me to really do this in a big way. Okay, let's pray about that and let's seek it. And we got confirmation. Yep, let's go do it. Then what we did is say, okay, what has to happen for all those things to come together? I said, because you literally physically can't make 100 on your own.
Right.
And it won't work, you know? So, okay. So we said, let's ask, seek, and knock. And we need, somebody that can, you know, get the fabric and make the trees. We need somebody who can make the ornaments and laminate them and get them ready to be attached. And I said, okay, let's start looking for that. And we do. And we're online and start looking. And she finds this woman here in Denver who is a believer. She tells her what she's trying to do. And she says, I have a little company that does this. This kind of stuff.
Oh, excellent.
So send me your stuff, and she does, and she makes an amazing price for it. So what she did is she took photographs of every ornament. She translates that into a digital image and makes it colorful, and then she laminates them and then cuts them out. And so she put all those sets together.
That's amazing.
And then another one, she said, there's another lady down the street, and she could attach things to the ornaments to then put them on the tree, and she can do all that work. And so she's doing that. So it's all set up.
That's awesome. Can I get on the list there? I want one of those.
Yes. Yeah.
For my future grandbabies.
We'll be promoting it. We'll promote it on the podcast. And as you come to Christmas, particularly if you have children, it's a fantastic. All the way from December 1st to the 25th is a beautiful, and it's fun, and it's really creative, and you get into the scriptures, and we do it. We did it with our kids and grandkids year after year after year after year, and they really learn scripture and the value, by the way, of the Old Testament. That's one of the things that I really appreciate about it, was that the children learn this is part of God's word. And they don't reject that. So it's kind of fun. So we've been talking about Jesus made a comment that as in the days of Noah, you know, so will it be in the end, and both the world would just operate normally, but there'll be a moment where I need to give you instruction as I did Noah and get ready. And so he said, watch for the signs. And it's really a two-step process. Watch is, okay, I observe these things. They look like they may be happening now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to now pay attention to you, Father, giving me instruction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you and I keep talking about, is be careful. And you made the comment last time, be careful not to go decide, I'm going to go do.
Right.
No. It's rather, if what we're trying to do is alert the world, the Christian world, that the things that are happening portray that we maybe are close to this moment. And
mm-hmm.
we're encouraging everybody because of it, one, not to ignore it, as the,
right.
world, as the world did, and of course they didn't make it, and then to now be ready, Father, what instruction do you want to give us
mm-hmm.
As we go through it? So we talked about the first one that Jesus said is Israel returns as a nation. And we read the statement he makes in Matthew. We read Jeremiah. Let's look at some other verses here. Ezekiel 39:28.
Sure. Ezekiel 39:28 says, then they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who sent them into captivity among the nations, but also brought them back to their land and left none of them captive any longer.
Yeah. He said, so they'll know that I brought them back.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, when that happens, that generation is going to see the end. So even in Ezekiel, and by the way, Ezekiel, at this point in the book of Ezekiel, he's talking about the end times.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll actually talk more about this as he goes into the picture of what's called the dry bones, that I'm going to bring them back and put them in their own land. Okay, go to Psalm 107, read verses 1 to 9.
Sure. Psalm 107, 1 to 9 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place.
Yep.
Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry with goodness.
Yeah. And a couple of things here, as you said, I'm going to bring him back to their own place because they've been wandering around. And then
mm-hmm.
he says, I'm going to satisfy the longings
mm-hmm.
of it. And this is something that I've always been interested in, is that the nation of Israel was almost 2,000 years without being a nation. But I think because of their longing, they were always longing that, you know, are we able to come back as a country? And I think that's one of the reasons why they kept a great deal of them kept pure and just married other Jews and
mm-hmm.
kept the race pure.
Yeah.
So it's,
and
not,
it's interesting.
It's not just
if you talk.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, if you talk to Jewish people now, a lot, you will hear this. You'll hear this very longing in so many of them, I feel like.
Yeah.
And the stories of ones that have gone back to Israel now, it has started with this longing that they, you know, they'll tell you stories of how they simply just longed to go back. And then God began to lead them back. But there was a precipice of longing, right?
Yes. Yes. Okay, go to Isaiah 11, 11 to 12.
Sure. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left from Assyria and Egypt, from Pathros and Cush, from Elam and Shinar, from Hamath and the islands of the sea. He will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth.
Yeah. So again, you know, he's, remember this is Isaiah, and he's prophesying, you know, God's going to gather them from the four corners of the earth, from all over. Mm-hmm. And that's why he uses the word specifically. He doesn't say, I'll just gather them from, you know, the land next door.
Right.
No, I'm going to gather them from all over the earth and have them return back as a nation. So, again, Isaiah is assisting this aspect of understanding that, yeah, they're going to be – and remember, this is all – prophesied Isaiah, you know, is you know, 500 years before Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying they're going to be scattered into the world, which happens after the Christ resurrection.
Right.
But they'll be gathered back at the end, you know. So it's kind of a cool thing. All right, go to I'm gonna insert a scripture here. And then we'll come back to it. Ezekiel 37, and go ahead and read verses 1 through 10. Ezekiel 37,
sure.
1 to 10.
All right. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone.
Yeah.
Keep going?
Yeah, go ahead through verse 10.
Okay. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army.
Yeah. you know, it's interesting, because again, these Ezekiel is prophesying the end.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, the bones that are laying there,
mm-hmm.
Are going to come back to life. And I'll put, you know, and remember that the way we're constructed is we have a skeleton, and then we have, you know, we have tendons and organs, et cetera. Then we have skin and all that, you know. So basically, mm-hmm. he's saying, I'm going to take it from its place where there's no life in it.
Right.
And I'm going to put all the life back together.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll stand up, you know, and be. And then he says an interesting thing. As he puts this together, and this is where scripture is so wonderful, as we look at that and say, huh, look at that. Read verse 10 again.
Sure. It says, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army.
Yeah. it didn't stop. Well, they stood on their feet.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be great. You know, it's coming back. He said, he describes it as an exceedingly great
mm-hmm.
army. The word there is over the top, spectacular, unbelievable, powerful army,
mm-hmm.
warriors that can operate in a battle, in a war. Israel has become an exceedingly great army. Interesting enough, They're probably the greatest army in the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two things that are true for them. One is they have incredible technology.
right.
that God's given. And now, by the way, there's a lot of this technology that's been provided by the United States.
Right.
And they've adopted it and used it. So they've developed an unbelievable technology being able to protect themselves as well as go to battle in a way that they're very effective in victory mm-hmm. for what they do. So that's one. They've been given technology, an exceedingly great army. And then two is that they train in an incredible way to help their army be able to carry out assignments
mm-hmm.
in a remarkable way. And by the way, every Jewish person that enters into 19 and 20 years old, everybody has to serve in the military.
Mm-hmm.
So men, women, everybody. And they go, but they train them, everybody, in warfare and what to do and how to do it. And they do have a value, which they try to maintain. And, of course, it can't be pure, but they try in their attacks of enemy after the enemy attacks them. By the way, and this is interesting throughout the history of them returning as a country, they've never been an aggressor per se to go and capture other lands.
Right.
Now, there's a battle with the Palestinians who would like their land, and some of them are there, like the Hamas in Gaza that we've talked about,
mm-hmm.
who did attack them. But they didn't initiate the attack.
Right.
But once they're attacked, they basically say,
they will respond.
we're going to respond, and we're not going to negotiate, and you're going to feel the impact of our defending ourselves, and we're coming mm-hmm. after you here, you know, while you're here, and they do. But they're really well trained. So as we're learning, and I would urge everybody to look at the times when Denny Weinberg comes on, and we're going to have a special guest here in a couple weeks, he talks about how they go in, like in Gaza, and they get into the tunnels, and they, you know, they do certain mm-hmm. things, and they're just so skilled, you know, at what they do. And then he said the one thing about Israel, which we'll hear even more of, is that they just basically say, here's what happened, including when they make a mistake.
Right.
Which is called, you know, friendly fire, where they've actually, you know, because of a skirmish, they actually wound up, you know, killing their own people, or they, you know, they made a mistake on the location or something. But they're super trained, and they're an exceeding great army. So Ezekiel's statement is mm-hmm. now fulfilled. It really is fulfilled. And there's actually another scripture that talks about this. Go to Zechariah. This is a new one that I'm adding to you. Zechariah, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Zechariah 12, 1 to 8.
Says the burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundations of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. In that day, says the Lord, I will strike every horse with confusion and its rider with madness. I will open my eyes on the house of Judah and will strike every horse of the peoples with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are my strength and the Lord of the hosts their God. In that day, I will make the governors of Judah like a fire pan in the woodpile, like a fiery torch in the sheaves. They shall devour all the surrounding peoples on the right hand and on the left. But Jerusalem shall be inhabited again by her own place, in her own place, Jerusalem. The Lord will save the tents of Judah first, so that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall not become greater than that of Judah. In that day, the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The one who is feeble among them in that day shall be like David, And the house of David shall be like God, the angel of the Lord before them. It shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem.
Yeah. So it's saying that, yeah, they're going to be pretty strong people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to protect them. And actually, the nations that are coming against them are ultimately going to be destroyed because of the strength of Israel. And because of what John writes in Revelation and also in Daniel, what Daniel wrote is that the action all happens in Israel, particularly about Jerusalem, because at the Battle of Armageddon, which is just called the Valley of Megiddo, is just north of Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
So they form up to enter into Jerusalem to wipe out Israel. This is the last called the Battle of Armageddon, where Christ himself returns. So he says, all these nations that are trying to eliminate Israel, first of all, they're not going to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm going to give them an exceeding great army and skill. And ultimately, they're going to be destroyed. Which, by the way, happens at the Battle of Armageddon. They come against them, and everybody is destroyed. And that's what initiates what's called the millennium. Is Christ on earth living with us, and we who are raptured get to come back and operate in our glorified bodies during this 1,000 years with the world still having humans, which are basically Jews to start with, and repopulate the earth.
Yeah, it's interesting as you're sharing this scripture, I'm reminded, I believe, is one of the driving factors that Christians who are familiar with the Bible or even just have a little bit of knowledge seem to know, hey, we don't want to mess with Israel.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and I think like in American politics, so let's just bring it right back to America, when we see things going against Israel, it raises our eyebrows and we honestly get a little fearful of, uh-oh, what's our country doing? If we are not with them, we're against them. And that doesn't go well according to the Bible. And so I think that does put people on alert, right?
Yes. You know, as we, you and I have talked about, as well as particularly we're doing this primer on abiding during this time, and we're using, the aspect of how do you handle people that come against you,
right?
And we came down to one interesting truth. It's called the covenant, and that is, I'm going to bless you to make you a blessing. I'm going to bless those who bless you. I'm going to curse those who curse you. Well, that covenant is personal because we're grafted in, and Christ is a recipient of that covenant and continues to perpetuate it, but it does also refer to the nation of Israel, that there's a covenant with the nation of Israel, that those that bless Israel are going to be blessed. And blessing is supporting and cooperating and working things through. Those that curse them is come against them and take away any opportunity to do things together. They're going to be cursed. And so we as a nation, are not exempt from that.
Right.
What's our viewpoint? Now, by the way, primarily, U.S. has been a great ally of Israel.
Right.
And really facilitated this building up of an exceptional army and all the things that we do. And, you know, my son works for Lockheed Martin and talks about, he's had to go to Israel a couple of times for meetings. And he talks about that the technology that Lockheed Martin developed is cooperating with Israel. And he said Israel has such a skill that they then make our technology even better. And it's a great partnership. So what you're saying is really true, is because ultimately in the end, we, America, actually fall away as well from Israel. Which I think it looks like we become kind of a non-entity because all the action is in Europe and in the Middle East, and it doesn't have much of a mention of another, you know, superpower that joins in. There's Russia, there's China, but America doesn't even seem to be mention much, even though we're the ones that helped establish the nation itself.
Right.
But so it'll be an interesting thing to watch. And as we support it or don't support it, it's like, what is that going to mean? And that's a question we have, you know. And so let's just end it here with one more verse. Go to Luke 21, 24 to 28. Jesus is again speaking about the end here. Luke 21, 24 to 28.
And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, and the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift your heads, because your redemption draws near.
So he says, until the time, the fullness of the time of the Gentiles, so that, again, Jerusalem, Israel, was a non-entity, not a Jewish nation. Well, he said, when the fullness of the time of the Gentiles, they're going to come back as a nation and take control back of Israel and Jerusalem. So it appears that the fullness of the time of the Gentiles is now moving into this next phase. And he said, when you see that, look up.
Right.
And look up just as pay attention.
Right.
Some things are happening. Get ready to let it happen. You know, so when that happens, look up. Well, it kind of happened.
I just highlight too that look up. Yes, it's the look up, pay attention, that sort of thing. But it's also look up. Lift your heads, fix your eyes on a faithful God in the middle of what's coming.
Amen.
Because he is faithful to his word. He is faithful to his covenant. And our eyes need to be fixed on him in the midst of whatever storm may be approaching.
Yes. Yeah. And in that vein, seek him.
Yes.
As opposed to, we are going to go do. He said, no, just look up.
Yes.
And let me now give you instruction, and I'll guide you.
Mm-hmm.
And look up to a much higher, he said, because I know more than you.
right.
it'd be a good idea if you do, you know. So that's pay attention, look up. And now it's like seek what now I want to show you.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's what we're going to talk about further. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for these scriptures. They're really not fuzzy at all. They're very clear that there is a return of Israel to Jerusalem and to Israel, the land of Israel, and the management of that, and a great exceeding army, which we've already seen happen, and actually the United States have been part of it, and we praise you for that. And now we just help us to look up and to realize that the guidance, the instruction is from you, and here it is, and to pay attention. And we thank you now in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks so much for this conversation, Rich. Always a blessing. And if you have questions from today's podcast, be sure to send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep, we'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments, and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.